WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Thursday, January 1, 2017, we've got a fantastic hour of sports talk in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's Current Sports, we will chat about baseball's newest members of the Hall of Fame. That's right. And there's one local connection, a pretty cool one, in fact. So we'll chat about that. Also, the Detroit Pistons and Red Wings both picked up W's last night. We'll tell you who those teams were against and what this means for both of those squads moving forward. We will have a brief chat on Michigan State and the University of Michigan men's basketball teams as we preview a bit of the weekend action for the Spartans and Wolverines on the hardwood, seeing as though we aren't on the air tomorrow because, of course, the presidential inauguration will be broadcasted live here on WKAR AM 870. So we're going to have a lot of weekend previews that we usually do on Friday here on Thursday's show. And we will even talk NFL playoffs and preview two big games that will decide who heads to Houston for the Super Bowl. Yes, and we will do that by inviting our dear friend, motivational speaker and author DeAndre Carter to our airwaves, who is probably the biggest Pittsburgh Steelers fan I've ever met in my life, all right? And, of course, when previewing the NFL weekend, that will be, there are many ties to the Michigan State football program that will be in action this weekend as well. So we'll have all of that, including what we normally dub as Reflection Friday. We'll call it Reflection Thursday when we look at the week that has been in the world of local sports and beyond, and bringing you some of our favorite stories that we may have chatted about and some that we may not have gotten a chance to talk about here on our airwaves. So all of that and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we begin with the Detroit Pistons and Red Wings. Both teams picking up wins last night. The Pistons ousted the Atlanta Hawks 118-95, roaring to a 42-point opening quarter and just completely cruised from there, taking a 30-point lead just past the midway point of the second quarter. A good way to open the three-game homestand, with the next road game taking place not until January 27th at Miami. The Pistons will now host the Washington Wizards on Saturday. The Red Wings are on a three-game win streak, rallying from behind to beat the Boston Bruins last night, 6-5, the final in a shootout. Peter Mrazek made 23 saves in relief as the Wings came back from a three-goal deficit. Thomas Vanek and Franz Nielsen scored in the shootout for Detroit. The Wings will play at Buffalo on Friday. Detroit rock star Kid Rock will play four shows to open up Little Caesars Arena on September 12th, 13th, 15th, and the 16th to launch Detroit's newest major venue now under construction north of downtown. Tickets will go on sale for that concert on January 27th. Rock shows at the Little Caesars Arena will come about a month before the Red Wings kick off the 2017-18 NHL season at the $635 million venue, to be followed by the Pistons' NBA debut there later in October. Man, downtown Detroit is truly going to be rocking. All right, the Detroit Lions organization announced that the Wi-Fi in Ford Field will be upgraded and available for fans just in time for the 2017 NFL season with partnership with Verizon. That's right, the Wi-Fi will reportedly have quadruple capacity, creating a better experience for users, whether browsing, posting, or streaming. So I'm pretty sure that when watching a Detroit Lions game this upcoming year, you will probably see more people on their cell phones as opposed to watching the live action in-game. Yeah, that's what it's come down to, folks. People are just glued to their cell phones, including myself, all right? I'm at fault as well. The Wi-Fi will be called Ford Field Wi-Fi. Very original. Quote, fans have been waiting for this new Wi-Fi system, and we are confident the wait will be worth it, said Abby Knowles, executive director. Former Detroit Lions corner Stanley Wilson II was arrested while naked for the second time in 8 months, according to multiple reports. Wilson was arrested for running around naked outside a private residence on January 10th in Portland, Oregon, which is where he allegedly tried to break into a home last June and was shot by the owner before being arrested. Now, Wilson appeared to be high on marijuana. Now, he played 32 games for the Lions from 05 to 07. The 34-year-old is the son of former Cincinnati Bengals running back Stanley Wilson, who also battled drug problems. Really hope that Stanley gets his life back on track. That's troubling news there. All right, the Detroit Tigers acquired Mickey Mattuck in a trade with the Tampa Bay Rays for a player to be named later or cash, according to the squad. Now, to make room for Mattuck on the 40-man roster, the team designated center fielder Anthony Gose for assignment. Now, Mattuck, who was 27 years old, hit 195 in 65 games with the Tampa Bay Rays last season. In 2015, he batted 295 with 9 home runs in 41 games. He was drafted out of, hey, Isaac, LSU in the first round of the 2011 MLB draft. You ever heard of his name before, Isaac?
Oh, yeah, Mattuck's quite a good player and very popular down in Cajun country.
Good pick for the Tigers?
Very good pick. Like it a lot.
Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, and Ivan Pudge Rodriguez were elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame on Wednesday, while Vladimir Guerrero and Trevor Hoffman fell just short of the 75% threshold required in voting by the Baseball Writers Association of America. Now, Bagwell got 86.2% of the vote, and Raines got 86%. Rodriguez got 76%, receiving 4 more votes than the necessary 332 of 442. Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds continued to gain ground in the voting, but also fell short of election. Roger Clemens at 54%, Barry Bonds at 53%. Clemens received 45.2% of the vote a year ago, while Bonds received 44.3%. So it seems like they are gaining a bit of ground when it comes to possibly getting their names etched in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Of course, Clemens and Bonds, both of those names have been linked to steroids. USA Gymnastics will be added as a defendant to a lawsuit filed by a woman against former Michigan State University doctor Larry Nassar. Now, Ingham County Circuit Court Judge William Collette on Wednesday granted the motion filed last week by attorneys for Catherine Payne, who alleges Nassar sexually assaulted her over the course of 3 years during medical procedures. Now, Payne filed her lawsuit in Ingham County back in November. It is one of 5 lawsuits that have been filed against Nassar, who also faces criminal charges in state and federal court. And last but certainly not least, Serena Williams, her pursuit of a 23rd Grand Slam title gathered momentum today when she thrashed Czech Lucy Safarova 6-3, 6-4 to reach the third round of the Aussie Open. The American, who arrived at Melbourne Park, Serena Williams, having played only 2 matches since last year's U.S. Open, dispelled doubts about her fitness and reminded would-be challengers of her championship credentials by sweeping aside 2 high-quality opponents this week. Safarova is the woman that Williams did beat for the 2015 French Open title. Serena Williams will go down as the greatest women's tennis player, arguably the greatest tennis player, period, to ever pick up a racket. Wow, she is amazing, folks. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on the air. And even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. Let's start the show.
Again on that 300 mark in home runs, four of them this year. Moved down in the order from where he has hit in previous seasons. And he golfs that one to left field. Going back, Luke Scott looking. Goodbye home run! His fifth of the year and a 2-1 Tigers lead as they continue their assault on the fences. The Tigers threatening to get this thing tied up again. And a lot of yards. Fahey will backhand it, and no chance. It'll be an infield hit. 3-for-3 for Pudge Rodriguez. That'll be to the hole and a base hit. And no matter where Millard's been playing on that one, that's a single.
But you will give him the single with a one-run lead versus the double. And he takes it.
A four-hit ball game for Pudge Rodriguez.
Well, just a great inside-out swing. I mean, it's kind of like automatic tonight. The ball for a home run, probably 4 or 5 inches off the inside corner.
And that is how we start this afternoon's WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Oh, boy. Can't believe this is the last show of the week. Really can't believe that. It feels like a Friday here on Current Sports, seeing as though this is the final show, live show of the week at least. Tomorrow, we will be broadcasting the presidential inauguration live here on our airwaves. So after 2 o'clock, you won't hear my voice until Monday. So with that being said, we got a lot to get to on today's show. I'm going to try to cram as much as I can into this show. But you know, the thing is, you know, it's so hard to cover so many areas in 60 minutes in the sports world. So I'm going to do my best to cram as much as possible without diluting each conversation. All right. So we're going to talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame in just a second. Pistons and Wings, U of M, and MSU men's basketball. I'm going to give you our Super Bowl picks. That's right. With two big games taking place this weekend that will decide who will be playing in Houston. And we're going to reflect on the week that is and has been. All right? So 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And during that Super Bowl discussion, we will invite again motivational speaker and author DeAndre Carter to the show. Excited about that convo. DeAndre, a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so you don't want to miss that convo. What you just heard in that snippet was a call in the world of the MLB that took place on July 18th of 2008. Pudge Rodriguez had a perfect night at the plate, knocking 4 hits with 2 runs, 2 RBIs. Pudge went 4-for-4 when he donned, of course, the Detroit Tigers jersey. They were playing the Baltimore Orioles that night. Pudge, such a dynamic player. One of my favorite Tigers, dating back to when, you know, my senior year of high school. And a huge congratulations goes out to Pudge because he can now call himself a Hall of Famer, along with Jeff Bagwell and Tim Raines. How cool is that, right? Very cool stuff anytime you talk about a player whose career culminates with a Hall of Fame bid in any sport, let alone Cooperstown, right? The Baseball Hall of Fame. It has such lore when you talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? You know, it's interesting, though, when you evaluate the votes here, and I think many of you know where I'm eventually going to go with this conversation. Now, I do believe that, of course, when you look at the numbers, you know, Bagwell, Raines, and Rodriguez, I think they all three deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And I want to throw out a few facts here before I bring up a certain conversation that needs to be had anytime you evaluate the famed Baseball Hall of Fame. So congratulations, Jeff Bagwell, Pudge, and Raines, the newest members of the Hall. Raines became just the fifth player elected in his final year of eligibility. So Raines was hanging on by a pinky, hoping that his name would join some of the greatest to ever play the game of baseball. By becoming just the fifth player, he joins Red Ruffing, Joe Medwick, Ralph Kiner, and Jim Rice as those elected in their final years of eligibility. Raines had a great, great peak in his career back in the 1980s, one of baseball's best all-around players in the game. Pudge becomes just the second catcher elected on the first ballot, joining, yeah, you know him, Johnny Bench. Big name there, right? One of the greatest defensive catchers of all time, winner of 13 gold gloves and the 1999 American League MVP award. And there's another layer to the argument of Pudge Rodriguez getting into the Hall of Fame, which I'll get to in just a second. And Bagwell from Hartford, the second greatest first baseman many consider to be since World War II, behind, of course, the great Albert Pujols. Power hitter. And you look at Bagwell's stats. He scored 152 runs back in 2000. Still the most in a season since Lou Gehrig did so back in 1936. So you look at, you know, the Baseball Writers Association, right? And how the votes panned out for those three. Bagwell, you're looking at 86.2. Raines got 86 on the button. And Rodriguez just squeaked in. Again, you need 75% at least to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Rodriguez just got in at 76%, receiving just four more votes than the necessary 332 of 442. So Pudge just squeaks in for that Hall of Fame bid. You know what really gets me, though, is the inconsistency of votes when it comes to the Baseball Writers Association of America. It can get a bit frustrating when evaluating how some percentage of votes for certain players go up and how some go down from year to year to year. That there really is no consistency in my eye. And whenever you talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame, you know what's going to be at the forefront of the conversation. One word. Isaac, I think you can guess that word, right? What is that word?
You guess steroids.
Boom. Ding, ding, ding. You are a winner, right? Steroids is always going to be at the forefront of the conversation. It's amazing to me sometimes. There's so much inconsistency in the voting patterns. And, you know, you look at, you know, how writers judge this, right? And I you know, and another word that comes to mind when looking at the percentage of votes for some players and how they fluctuate from year to year to year is fairness. And the reason why I bring up fairness is because some players who had great careers in Major League Baseball, had great numbers in Major League Baseball, some of those players have been quote-unquote leaked to steroids, but have never been found with foolproof, hardcore evidence that they broke any rules when it comes to performance-enhancing drugs. Just been linked. Linked is the key word. You know, when preparing for this discussion this morning, you know, I looked at a very interesting article from Mr. Ken Rosenthal from Fox Sports. And I just want to read a brief snippet of it for you all. Ken starts the article like this. Quote, shortly after the announcement of the Hall of Fame's class of 2017, I received a text from a former major leaguer. Quote, two of the three did steroids, so I don't understand the process. Now, Ken is quoting a former player who is not named in the article, justly so, right? It's keeping the source under wraps. A former player who sent this text to Ken, referring to, of course, Jeff Bagwell and Ivan Pudge Rodriguez, whose use of performance-enhancing drugs has been suspected by many, linked by many, but not confirmed. Again, no full proof, black and white evidence that either Bagwell or Rodriguez did steroids. Ken Rosenthal got that text from a former player. So, you know, in names such as, like I mentioned in the headliners, Clemens and Bonds, those are names that are constantly brought up in this conversation. Whether or not those two in particular, and you know, two names of many, whether or not those two names of many should be enshrined into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And you know, for the most part, when your name is linked to steroids, you start to see that affected in the minds of the Baseball Writers Association of America. So it was a bit surprising to me that this year, 2017, the election of Rodriguez on the first ballot, who was named by Jose Canseco as a steroid user, I was surprised that Pudge got in, I must say. And again, you look at the votes, as I stated, he barely got in. 76% of the vote. But I want to go back to inconsistency here, because when putting in a guy like Pudge, when putting in a guy like Bagwell, it shows to me that I do believe maybe the thought process of many of the those who vote for who gets into the Baseball Hall of Fame in association with the Baseball Writers Association of America, it seems to me that maybe those individuals are softening their stance on it. I really do believe that. Clemens and Bonds, percentage jumps this year for both of those individuals when looking at the percentage of their respective votes. They went from the mid-40s to the mid-50s this year. 54.1% for Clemens, 53.8% for Bonds. Again, 75% is required for induction. Clemens fell 93 votes shy of election. Bonds, 94. Both are eligible to remain on the ballot five more years. Now, that's going to be an incredible jump, right? Because they have to go up at least, you know, 20 plus percentage points to get in. Do I believe that they will get in? No. I have to be honest with you. Even though those numbers are growing, I just don't think that there is enough consensus from those who are voting for the Baseball Writers Association of America to put those two compelling players in. But it does confuse me a bit as to why those percentage jumps occurred this year. Don't really understand it. Now, you guys know, longtime listeners of this show know my stance on it. I do believe that Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, among others, should get into the Baseball Hall of Fame despite being steroid users of performance-enhancing drugs. And I have always made this stance in regards to those names, among others, having an asterisk if they do get in. Always. And you know why? Because this is the thing about baseball. This is the thing about all sports. If you are linked to taking certain drugs to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame, does that hurt the integrity of the game? Sure. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. But I must say this. When you look at the career of such a Barry Bonds, and you evaluate the amount of eyeballs that name alone brought to the baseball world, when you try to put into context the amount of money that Barry Bonds brought into the game of baseball, hey, he helped the product. And you cannot ignore that, folks. No matter what your stance on it is, you cannot argue that Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, players like that brought more money to the game, brought more attention to the game, brought more ratings to the game. A game in which now, when you evaluate the ratings of the MLB, it's hurting. It is hurting badly right now. When you evaluate the popularity, we've had multiple segments on the show. We talk about the youth of today. Intrigued by the game of baseball? No, they're not. The numbers show that. Baseball is too slow. There isn't the draw of it is struggling. Hey, I can go back to two other compelling names that have been linked to this conversation, right? Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. I grew up a kid, you know, west side of Detroit that could care less about the game of baseball. I was a big football and basketball fan. But I will never forget when Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire were having just this battle throughout the entire season, this home run battle. I mean, it was so compelling. I found myself sitting there with my pops some days, glued to my television, watching what those two players were doing. They helped the game of baseball, folks. The overall product of baseball got a boost when Sosa and McGwire, when Clemens or Bonds were out there playing the game. Put them in. I think that there's sort of a bougie, quote-unquote, lore to the Baseball Hall of Fame. I understand it's the Hall of Fame. I get that. It's America's pastime. I get all that. There's such a storied history when looking at the game of baseball here in America. But I think baseball sometimes gets in its own way because it's on this high horse and they refuse to acknowledge certain players who helped the overall brand and product. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And again, the numbers are showing that I do believe that there are many writers out there who are changing their stance, and I think are acknowledging how certain players help the game of baseball. But again, with 5 years left for both Clemens and Bonds, it is going to be really tough. Really tough. Now, I do think they stand maybe a decent chance, but they're swimming upstream now to change that many minds moving forward, because I do believe that still the dialogue when it comes to baseball players who have used performance-enhancing drugs is still one that is so negative, especially those who are old-school thinkers when discussing this topic.
is going to be a lot. It's going to take a lot, I should say, to change their minds. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Next year's class will likely include at least four players who have been linked to PEDs. You look at, players like Trevor Hoffman, who missed the election by 5 votes, Vladimir Guerrero, who missed by 15, first-timers, Chipper Jones, Jim Thome. As the ballot clears, support could grow for players linked to PEDs. So I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. This is a conversation we've had multiple times here on our airwaves. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to hit our first break first. Mike from Saginaw, I see you. We're going to get to you in just a second. Hit our first break, come back. We'll chat about the Detroit Pistons and the Detroit Red Wings, as well as talk some college hoops. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We began that first segment by chatting about the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's right. Three names. Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, Ivan Pudge Rodriguez, elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday. Of course, we hinted on the topic of steroids and whether or not guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens should be elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. The percentage of votes for both Bonds and Clemens did rise this year. And, the question now becomes because, Ivan as well as Tim, those are two names that have been linked to possible PED use. And the question now becomes, where do you draw that line, right? Because there are some players who are getting elected still whose names have been linked based on hearsay or suspicion of PED use. And there are others whose names have more substantial evidence when it comes to PED use in their respective careers. So where do you draw that line? If three people are saying this player used PEDs, but 50 people are saying this guy used PEDs. How does that affect the voting process for the Baseball Writers Association of America? You better believe that it is in their respective minds. But where do you draw that line when it comes to suspicion? There will never be a foolproof cut and dry paste method as to, looking at how the voting process works and certain writers who decide to change their mind from one year to the next. And actually, this would be interesting, though, because starting next year, voters will be required to make their ballots public. But it's going to be hard to predict whether or not that will help certain players whose names have been linked to steroid use. Before we get to our caller on line one, Mike from Saginaw, I do see you. Isaac, what are your thoughts on this whole discussion? And do you think that, or I should say, were you surprised when looking at who got in this year?
Well, you and I don't fabricate feuds much, but this is one that you and I have had for quite a long time. It's longstanding. I don't think that Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, or anybody who has been essentially proven to have used PEDs and steroids should be considered for Hall of Fame distinction. The thing is, these are guys who, yes, they contributed to the game, et cetera, but look where the game is now. I mean, it is at a level that's lower than it's ever been before, ever since baseball came into the fold of things in America. A steroid legacy, trying to compare the modern greats like Mike Trout, who's going to go down in history as a legend and all of that, to somebody who used steroids, that's not fair. And then you look at some players have the taboo, the stigma of steroid usage. Others have it to such a great extent they would never be considered. If Barry Bonds were to make it into the Hall of Fame vote, the percentage that shocked me the most from last night, Sammy Sosa, 8.6. 8.6. I mean, how could you say that you put a steroid user in there and then keep Sammy Sosa out? Otherwise, you have to open the floodgates, let all of them in. And I'm more at peace with baseball scourging the legacy of steroids permanently than letting in tons and tons of people who did cheat improperly to better themselves in this game. I don't think you can base it off contributions alone. I think you have to play the game right. After all, that's what baseball supposedly is all about.
That's what any sport is all about, right? Look, I'm not saying that those who did use steroids were in the right. Not saying it at all. I just want baseball to acknowledge that these guys did help the overall brand. If you put them in, I don't see what the problem is with putting them in and addressing the elephant in the room and saying,
doesn't that tarnish the legacy of other non-steroid users, though? Hank Aaron and Barry Bonds shouldn't be side by side.
They shouldn't be. That's why you put them in a wing in the hall that says, you know what? These are guys that did help the sport, but they did also cheat and use steroids. Okay,
cheater hall, baseball, the Hall of Fame.
Baseball is refusing to acknowledge that these guys did help their product. Baseball is refusing to acknowledge that these guys did put money in their pockets. And that's the problem that I have with it. That's the biggest problem that I have with baseball. They are refusing to acknowledge how these guys helped the game as well.
I think that's public knowledge, though. I think everybody would go out there and say, oh, yeah, I remember watching Barry Bonds. I remember watching Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, et cetera, et cetera. I think that it would just be a little bit ludicrous, though, to have a cheater's wing in the Hall of Fame for any sport. I think you try to remove yourself as far as possible from that legacy, celebrate the good, denounce the bad, and move forward.
And Isaac, this is a pretty safe bet. There are probably names in the Hall of Fame right now.
Of course.
That definitely cheated and used steroids.
No, and they just
were Neo from the Matrix and dodged a bullet and didn't get caught. That's all that is, dude. Okay? So I'm just, you know, everybody has their own opinion on it. I don't think we will ever come to a general consensus because you look at the percentage here of those, you know, who voted for Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, and it is startling. I mean, the percentage is constantly growing here. I think we will eventually get to a point where those guys get in. I just don't think it's going to happen in enough time in the next 5 years for both of those guys to get in. 517-355-WKAR. Mike from Saginaw is on line one. Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Al Martin? Thanks for the debate. It's really interesting that you're debating baseball. Here's a question right off. You were talking about the baseball and the guys in there. When the last time you seen a baseball game that, not like basketball, summer league, when the last time you seen American Legion game or any baseball game?
Oh, I watched. What do you mean, like this any baseball game?
Not organized through the schools or anything. But when the last time you seen one, and how many people you see after watching those games?
Well, I must say, when you look at what took place in the World Series, Mike, I mean, that probably was the best World Series I've ever seen. That last game might have been the best baseball game period I've ever seen. So
I'm talking about amateur baseball.
Oh, you see, you're talking about like high school and I mean, we cover
right.
it.
American Legion ball or Little League or anything.
Well, to be honest with you,
not on TV, in person.
Right. If I was not a reporter, I'm pretty sure. But this is the thing about baseball, though. I will make this statement because I love going to a baseball game just to enjoy the atmosphere. I think that baseball has the best atmosphere out of any sport. And the reason why I say that is because first off, you're outdoors. Every baseball stadium looks different, right? Just the landscape of a baseball stadium just looks different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're getting when you go to a basketball arena. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but, you know, the court's the same.
Football
the seats are
too.
Around it. It's just, they all pretty much, the venues pretty much mimic each other to a certain extent. Hockey the same way. Football the same way. Baseball is just different. It's outdoors. You know, where the fans seat is a bit different. Just the lore of it. It's more fun. So, I may not go. The reasons why I go to a baseball game with my buddies is not per se just to solely enjoy what's happening out there on the field. It's more so to enjoy the atmosphere. I think you can agree with that, right, Isaac?
Yeah, entirely. And I go to even Lugnuts games sometimes
to
hang out.
To hang out.
Listen, I cannot name a player from the Lugnuts currently who – or I could, but, you know, it's not a team that I follow closely. The thing is, you go for the atmosphere. You go for the ambiance, and you go because it is baseball. It's a pastime. It's the definition of something you go do just to do and soak up the atmosphere and have a good time doing it.
Without a doubt.
Okay, you answered your question. I want to talk about other things. I want to talk about the Big Ten and Susie Merchant. Tori Jankowska, she's a prospect for the WNBA, huh?
Oh, certainly. Tori Jankowska is going to get drafted in the WNBA. The question is, you know, does she want to play overseas possibly and make more money than going to the WNBA? It's the same conversation we had when Ariel Powers decided to leave after her junior year. But, yeah, she's certainly a WNBA prospect.
How is Ariel Powers doing? What's she doing right now?
Well, you know, she got hurt. She had a knee injury during the later part of last year with the Dallas Wings. She's gone through rehab. I got a chance. I ran into her not too long ago, actually. Rehab is going well. She seems to be getting healthier. And she will probably be on the court next year for the Wings.
That'd be great. I got one. I'm going to give you two more questions, then I'll let you get to your other caller. Do you think Draymond Green, as a basketball player, is he, what I say, is every time he do something on the court, is he just being too magnified, or is it really some of the actions he show on the court, lady, is it worth covering? What's your opinion on that?
I think it's a little bit too magnified, but he brought it on himself. I mean, you look at some of the antics that he's had throughout his career with the kicking his leg up in the air and you know, the hit on LeBron in the groin area in the finals last year. So some of that is brought – a lot of that, I should say, is brought on by himself. And, you know, in reference to – because I think, you know, the reason why this conversation is brought up for the most part is because of what occurred the other day with LeBron James and Draymond Green. Well, Draymond reached in. They called it a flagrant. I didn't think it was a flagrant. Isaac and I have had this debate. I didn't think it was a flagrant foul, to be honest with you. But Draymond Green is always, whatever he does when it comes to physicality on the basketball court, it's always going to be magnified because of his past. Simple as that. Is it fair? Not at all. But it's always going to happen.
Here's the last question. I'll let you get it get to your other callers. El, I'm talking about high school basketball coverage lately. I haven't seen too much. I know Mick McCabe retired from the Free Press.
Yes.
But I just don't see that much high school coverage. I look at the Detroit News, and they cover mostly Detroit.
Right, right.
And I don't think they cover outstate much. What is going on with the high school coverage of high school sports in the wintertime? I'll take it off there. Thank you for letting me talk.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. I made the statement multiple times. Detroit media does not cover high school until it's quote-unquote important. And what I mean by that, Isaac, is when teams start to knock on the door of the Breslin Center and compete for state championships, that is when you see that coverage ramps up. Detroit media, sports media for the most part, just cares about the lore of the Tigers, the Lions, the Pistons, and Wings. That's how it's always been. You know, you look at some of the sports coverage in that area, you'll be hard-pressed to find. They don't even have a high school, you know, basketball or football show, for goodness sake. So it's always been that way. Here locally is a bit different. And there's a lot more layers to that conversation. You get more time to cover, you know, sports here in this area as opposed to Detroit. I mean, they get like 2 minutes on a normal sports cast during the 6 and 11 o'clock news. Whereas, you know, you look at here in Lansing, I mean, when I was an anchor and reporter for Channel 6, I would get 5. Even sometimes there was I remember one night, that they even gave me 6 minutes to do sports. So you get more time, you know, to throw in different areas of coverage, and that hurts the Detroit market when it comes to high school sports, at least. But, you know, there's more lore in the D for professional sports because those markets are in Detroit sports, professional sports' backyard. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll invite our guest for today's current sports, DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker and author. We are going to dive into the NFL playoff weekend. That's right. A weekend that will decide who makes it to Houston to participate in the Super Bowl. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. You know, before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports, we're still working on D.C. to get him on the line right now. Again, we're still taking your calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to briefly acknowledge the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Pistons, both teams that picked up wins last night. I was a bit surprised as I turned on the Pistons game in the second quarter that I looked at the score and they had 42 points. The Pistons came out the gates 42 points in the first, and it wasn't even close after that. I mean, the Atlanta Hawks, you know, the final score was 118-95. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, where in the world has this been? Pistons are a team that, again, I when I look at the struggles of this squad, again, that right now sits on the outside looking in of the NBA playoffs. The one thing I've always harped on and pinpointed is the Pistons' lack of defense. They give up far too many points to lackluster teams. The effort isn't there sometimes. Well, the effort was there last night. And, you know, you look at how they were able to take a 30-point lead just past the midway point of the second quarter. I mean, my goodness, I got bored watching that game. You know, and I must say, you know, I'm a big NBA guy. You guys know that. But the NBA regular season has just not been that entertaining to me. It has not been that entertaining to me, man. I'm a guy who has NBA League Pass, for goodness sake. And most of the games that I watch on a daily basis, on a nightly basis, in the National Basketball Association are blowouts or just not intriguing matchups from some of the bottom feeders of the association. I just can't watch it sometimes. I must say, and this is coming from an NBA fan. I mean, you look at last night. I mean, two teams, in the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Golden State Warriors. I thought it was going to be a great game. You know, it was at the half, it was like a one-point game, and the Warriors just were playing around. Yeah, we were playing with you, and they just turned it up in the third and fourth quarters. I just couldn't watch it. Couldn't watch it. And I think that the league, you know, with all these with the super team problem that they're having, you know, and I can't watch a Warriors game. I just can't sit there and watch, you know, an all-star team basically with Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant just blow out teams on a nightly basis. It is hurting the overall product. I can't watch the NBA regular season, Isaac. It annoys me sometimes watching those. I can't watch blowouts, dude.
I was watching it last night. I was thinking, this is unfair. It really is flat out cheat code. It is unfair. It's something you do in a video game when you set to rookie and create all players in 99s, because that's what this is. Steph Curry had the lucky bounce in on the three. Kevin Durant was unstoppable. And I've always said, you know, if Kevin Durant could play as an off-ball system, if he could play as an off-ball player in a very motion-oriented pick-and-pop system, something like that, he would be unstoppable. We're seeing that this year. He really is.
That's not fun to watch, man.
No, it's not.
That's not fun to watch.
That's the thing. If the NBA, if I have one issue for Adam Silver as the commissioner of the NBA, just one, it would be preventing this move from happening. KD to Golden State, it is unfair for the rest of the league. And you know what? I respect the Warriors because they've done a great job of assembling this team. But it's the NBA to stop monopolies from occurring. And right now you've got a monopoly on town in the NBA.
Yeah, I hate it, man. I just can't watch it. Shout out to the Wings, though, because this is a team that, you know, the longest postseason streak in North American sports history is in serious jeopardy right now. But I will say the last three games can be looked at in a positive way. I mean, because they won. I mean, they are on a three-game win streak. Rallied from behind to beat the Bruins last night, 6-5 in a shootout. In a game I turned on and I said, oh my goodness, here we go, another loss for the Wings. But the resiliency they showed last night was fantastic. Peter Mrazek, you know, coming in, 23 saves. That was a big, big component to why the Wings were in that game in the late stretch and what led to the Wings comeback. Vanek and Nilsson scored for Detroit in the shootout to give them the dub. They will be at Buffalo on Friday. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Just 10 minutes left in the show, and I want to end the show. Again, reminder, we will not be on the air tomorrow due to the presidential inauguration that will be broadcast live here on our airwaves. So this is the last current sports of the week. Trump is kicking us off the air. So I want to preview the weekend that will be. Oh, I'm excited about it. I'm excited. The conference championships that will both take place on Sunday, a 3:05 p.m. kickoff between the Green Bay Packers and the Atlanta Falcons. And then later on that evening, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers at the New England Patriots. Right now, I want to invite Online One to be a part of this conversation. Our dear friend, motivational speaker and author, DeAndre Carter, who is also a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. DC, what's up, my man?
What's going on, Al? It's a big weekend this weekend, championship weekend. I can't wait.
You know, I want to start this conversation by first off asking you, DC, because I'm sure there are many of our listeners out there who are wondering how in the world you became a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, because you're from Detroit. How did that come about?
Real quick, I grew up with two brothers, man, and, you know, sibling rivalry had to compete. And we couldn't all root for the same team and compete. So we decided that we were each going to choose favorite teams and favorite players that were not from Detroit so that we could have something to argue about. So I had to go ahead with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this happened some 25 years ago, and we still stick to it.
And you guys have certainly had a great year again, making it to the essential Final Four of the NFL season. Pittsburgh and New England, first off, how impressed have you been with the Steelers? And what are your thoughts on the outcome of this weekend's game going against one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history in Tom Brady?
Well, I got to say, I've been really excited and impressed with both sides of the ball. On the offense, the running game, I mean, MSU's own Le'Veon Bell has been doing things that are literally historic. He has the most rushing yards of any player in NFL history in their first two playoff appearances. And the defense has been doing phenomenal as far as getting pressure on the quarterback and playing a bend but don't break style. And so I feel really good going into New England and slaying the beast. Ben has only played Brady in the playoffs one time, and that was his rookie season, which actually was his first career loss. And so I'm sure that's still burning with him. And they haven't seen a full-strength Pittsburgh Steelers team as far as offensively. Le'Veon Bell, when he's played, Ben's been injured. When Ben's played, Bell's been on suspension. But we'll have them all on the field on Sunday night.
You know, this is going to be so exciting on Sunday because I can't remember a year when we've had this amount of talent at the quarterback position all going added in the conference championship games. And when we're talking about Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady, all names that have a legitimate shot. Oh, pretty much you could probably etch Tom Brady's name in there already. Aaron Rodgers as well. Probably throw in Ben Roethlisberger's. Matt Ryan, I think, is going to be an eventual Hall of Famer as well. But four names like that, I mean, can you remember the last time we had something like that happen in the conference championship season?
Literally, you got to go back to the early 90s. I believe it was the Bills and the Dolphins. So you have Marino and Jim Kelly.
Right,
and
right.
Then in the NFC, you have Steve Young and Troy Aikman. So
wow.
You got to go back to that era where you have four marquee matchups at the quarterback position with all the chips on the line to go to the Super Bowl.
All right, DC, we got 4 minutes left in the show. Give me your prediction on who do you think is going to make it to the Super Bowl. I know you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But, you know, it's Tom Brady. It's Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I know you're going to ride with your boys, right, though?
Listen, I'm going to start with the NFC, and I got to admit I was wrong. I was calling for Seattle and Dallas in the championship game because, yeah. You know, you and I spoke. I was looking forward to the possibility of a Steelers-Cowboys Super Bowl, so that would have been amazing. But
yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is playing on a completely different level right now, and what I'm seeing out of him, he's going to keep it close, but I'm rolling with Atlanta on the firepower. They've got the weapons. They've got a couple running backs in Coleman and Freeman that are putting in great work. And the Green Bay defense is leaky at best. I mean, Dallas stumbled out of the blocks, but they put it together, and they were able to move the ball whenever they decided to, both on the ground and in the air. I don't see Atlanta falling behind as much And so Aaron Rodgers is only one man. So particularly, I think Jordy Nelson is questionable, and so is Devontae Adams. So you got a couple big targets for Rodgers that might not be able to make it. I think I see Atlanta breaking through and making it out of the NFC. And out of the AFC, you're right. I am a Steelers fan through and through. And I gotta be honest with you. If Gronkowski was playing in this game, I'd feel completely different. I heard you guys talking about cheat code with the Warriors. Gronkowski is a one-man cheat code.
You can't defend
him with the safety because he's too big. You can't defend him with a linebacker because he's too fast. But they don't have a Gronkowski. And New England, particularly Brady, they have six straight championship appearances. But in the last few games, if you can get the time and you can rattle him, you can slow them down. Now, I am concerned about Deion Lewis. He is electric. So I'm hoping we can contain Deion Lewis. But what's underrated about Pittsburgh is during his win streak, the last nine games, the defense has been completely different than earlier in the season. And one of the players that may not be a marquee name, he came back off the pup list. His name is Bud Dupree. He was a first-round pick, and he's getting pressure off the edge. And Pittsburgh's always been known for outside linebacker combinations. You know, Woodley and Harrison. Joey Porter. And what I'm seeing out of Dupree is booking him with Harrison, getting a lot of pressure out there. But I think it's going to come down to Le'Veon Bell and the offense controlling the football. And he's running right now with a style and results we haven't seen before. So I'm predicting a heavyweight back-and-forth game where Pittsburgh pulls it out. For the NFC, I'm calling Atlanta 34-27. And for the AFC, I'm calling Pittsburgh 27-24.
Okay.
And I see a Pittsburgh-Atlanta Super Bowl. And there's an interesting fact out of the AFC.
Okay.
Is that this year will make 13. 13 out of the last 14 appearances out of AFC, the team has either been represented by Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or Ben Roethlisberger.
All right.
So that streak will continue this year.
All right. Well, look at this. DC should have changed professions, dude. He just gave it. I felt like I was talking to Adam Schefter just now, dude. DC, DeAndre Carter, thanks so much, dude. You got his prediction. I'm going with New England and Atlanta. Isaac, real quick.
I'm going with the Packers and then New England.
Hey, we'll see you Monday, folks. Be easy, people.